So, to kick things off today, I want you to imagine you're standing on a beach
Okay.
and you've just spent like the last 6 hours meticulously building the most brilliant, structurally complex sandcastle you have ever envisioned.
Wow, okay, setting the scene.
Right. I mean, it is a genuine masterpiece.
Yeah.
But the moment you step back to admire it, you look out at the horizon and see this massive tidal wave of digital copycats just rushing toward the shore.
Oh no.
Yeah, exactly. So you scramble, you run to the local authority, like the lifeguard who's supposedly there to protect this beach, and you beg them for a seawall. And
Natural.
lifeguard, slowly hands you a clipboard and says, "No problem. Just fill out these forms, pay a $30,000 filing fee, and we'll have a wall constructed for you in about 3 to 5 years."
Which is, frankly, exactly the moment you realize that having a brilliant idea in the modern economy is actually, well, it's a massive liability.
Right.
Especially if you don't have a way to lock it down instantly. I mean, you go from this absolute euphoria of innovation to just total paralysis.
And that paralysis is really the anchor of our deep dives today. We are looking at a framework outlined in a recent announcement, and it's titled Instant IP, Establishing Court-Ready Evidence for Global Innovation.
Yeah, it's a really fascinating piece of source material.
It totally is.
Yeah.
Because our mission today is to unpack the core tension here, this massive fundamental friction between the lightning speed of global innovation and the glacial pace of traditional legal protection.
Which is such a huge problem for creators right now.
Exactly. And we're going to examine how a new methodology is trying to bridge that gap. And this gets right to the point made by Cary Oberbrunner. He's the founder of Instant IP.
Right.
He argues that the bottleneck in today's economy isn't a lack of human creativity. I mean, the ideas are out there,
Oh, absolutely. The ideas are definitely there.
But the hesitation, the thing that actually stops a founder from, say, pitching an investor or sharing a prototype, is this crippling doubt about whether their intellectual property is actually safe during those years it takes to get traditional protection.
And honestly, it's a completely rational fear, especially when you look at the mechanics of the modern threat landscape.
Yeah, it's pretty bleak.
It really is. I mean, the source material outlines the realities of a digital-first economy, and, it is a completely borderless environment.
Right, there are no physical walls anymore.
Exactly. Historically, IP theft was geographic. Like, if you designed a new mechanical valve in Chicago, your main concern was just the competitor across town.
Yeah.
You didn't want them getting a look at your blueprints.
Right, the guy down the street.
Yeah. But today, threat vectors operate at the speed of fiber optics. We're looking at AI models designed to basically scrape vast amounts of data and launder proprietary concepts. And we have deepfakes capable of mimicking not just voices, but like proprietary creative outputs. Plus, these global piracy networks that absolutely do not respect international jurisdictions.
So it's basically instantaneous theft.
Pretty much. An idea documented on a Monday can be extracted, reverse engineered, and distributed globally by Wednesday.
Okay, let's unpack this. Because if the internet operates in milliseconds and traditional protections like patents, trademarks, copyrights take years, the math simply doesn't work.
No, it completely breaks down.
The source notes that these traditional routes can cost tens of thousands of dollars and take an agonizing amount of time. So are we saying that every creator or startup founder is just expected to operate totally naked in the market while they wait for a government office to process their paperwork?
What's fascinating here is that that is the exact systemic failure the text is highlighting.
Really?
Yeah. During that massive gap between the moment of creation and the moment a patent office officially grants your protection, your ideas are effectively completely exposed.
That is terrifying.
It is. Because you have the idea, but you lack the legally recognized evidence that you are the first to have it.
Right, because the system is so slow.
Exactly. The traditional legal frameworks were built for an analog world. They require manual review, prior art searches, all this bureaucratic processing.
That's a paperwork.
Tons of it. They are geographically constrained and just remarkably slow. Meanwhile, the threats are global and instant.
So the traditional system is essentially useless for the earliest, most vulnerable stages of an idea's life cycle.
Pretty much, yeah.
You have an asset. but you can't prove you own it yet.
Yeah.
Which means if you try to commercialize it or pitch it or even just collaborate with a partner,
yeah,
you are risking literally everything.
Precisely. And that actually brings us to the core mechanism of what the source calls a first and fast layer of protection.
First and fast. Okay.
Right. Because if the problem is that the traditional system is too slow to establish immediate ownership, then the solution has to be technological. It has to move at the speed of the internet itself.
I want to push back on that, though.
Sure. Go for it.
Because honestly, throwing technology at a legal problem usually just creates more digital noise, right? Like if I type my idea into a Google Doc, that is a timestamp. It's digital. It's fast.
Yeah, it is.
But if someone steals my idea and we end up in front of a judge, a Google Doc timestamp isn't going to save me. I mean, anyone can manipulate local metadata.
Oh, totally. That happens all the time.
So what makes this proposed first and fast protection any different from the digital trails we already leave behind every day?
Well, the difference really comes down to the concept of immutability. And this is where the instant IP framework relies heavily on blockchain technology.
Okay, blockchain. I feel like that word carries a lot of baggage.
It does. It really does. I know blockchain often gets tangled up in cryptocurrency hype and all that, but at its core, it is simply a decentralized, unchangeable ledger.
Just a really secure spreadsheet, basically.
Exactly. Instead of relying on a centralized authority like, you know, a single company server or a traditional notary public to verify when something happened, you are utilizing a network of computers, and they all mathematically agree on the state of data at a specific microsecond.
Here's where it gets really interesting. Let's get specific about how that actually works for the person with the idea, for you, the listener, because the text breaks this down into three components.
Right, three main pillars.
First is a tamper-proof timestamp of creation. But again, how is a blockchain timestamp inherently better than me just, like, emailing a document to myself to prove I had the idea on a certain date?
The classic poor man's copyright.
Yes. People do that all the time.
They do. And legally, it is notoriously rank. Because email servers can be spoofed, right?
Right.
And digital files can be altered after the fact.
That makes sense.
A blockchain timestamp, on the other hand, is cryptographically secured. When you log your idea into this framework, the network permanently etches the exact date, hour, minute, and second into a block of data. And that block cannot be altered retroactively.
Wow.
You aren't trusting a single email provider. You are relying on a mathematical consensus that is practically impossible to rewrite.
Which leads right into the second component they mentioned, the cryptographic fingerprint of the original work. This is the part that actually proves what the idea was, right?
Yes. And understanding the mechanism of a cryptographic fingerprint, which is often called a hash, is vital here.
Okay, lay it on me.
Let's say you have a highly sensitive 100-page business plan, or maybe a complex CAD file for a new physical product. When you run that file through a cryptographic algorithm, it doesn't upload your actual document to the public blockchain.
Oh, good. Because that would be a terrible idea for proprietary secrets.
Yeah, exactly. It would defeat the whole purpose. Instead, the algorithm processes your file and spits out a unique fixed-length string of letters and numbers. That string is the fingerprint.
So it's essentially a one-way mathematical translation. The algorithm looks at the data and generates a unique ID for it.
Exactly. And the crucial mechanism here is that if you change even a single comma on, say, page 87 of that business plan and run it through the algorithm again,
the fingerprint changes.
Completely. The resulting fingerprint will be totally different. It won't just be off by one character. It will be an entirely unrecognizable string.
That's wild.
It is. And this is how you prove the exact unaltered state of your idea at the precise moment it was timestamped.
Right, because the math doesn't lie.
Exactly. If someone later claims you altered the document after the fact, you simply present the original file. If the file generates the exact same fingerprint that was locked into the blockchain a year ago, you have absolute mathematical certainty that the file hasn't been touched.
Okay, that makes sense for a static document. But ideas iterate, you know? Like, if I'm a founder, my business plan changes every single week.
Sure.
If changing a single comma completely alters the fingerprint, wouldn't I constantly be out of sync with my own protection?
Well, you would systematically log the iterations. Think of it like a version control system for your intellectual property.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, every time you hit a significant milestone, like a new prototype, a revised algorithm, a finalized pitch deck, you just generate a new cryptographic fingerprint and stamp it. You are basically building this unassailable timeline of your innovation process.
Which ties into the third component the source outlines, a verifiable audit trail of ownership.
Yes. establishing the chain of custody, proving not just what the idea was and when it existed, but who actually held the rights to it.
Oh, because in any legal dispute over intellectual property, the burden of proof is incredibly high, isn't it?
It is massive. You can stand in a courtroom and passionately declare that you invented a concept first, but passion doesn't win IP cases.
Sadly not.
Without irrefutable proof, it is simply your word against a potentially much larger, better-funded entity.
Yeah, the big guys usually win those.
Right. But the digital evidence generated by this blockchain framework removes the ambiguity of he said, she said. It provides an unbroken mathematical chain of custody from the absolute moment of inception.
Okay, I follow the mechanics of the tech. We have an immutable timestamp. We have a highly sensitive cryptographic hash that proves the file's exact state and an audit trail.
Yep.
Mathematically, it's bulletproof. But let's bring this back to the real world, because this is where a lot of tech solutions just kind of fall apart.
That's fair.
A cryptographic hash is completely useless if a judge looks at it, doesn't understand the math, and throws it out of the courtroom, right?
Yeah.
I mean, the title of the source material explicitly uses the phrase court ready.
It does, yes.
So how does this digital architecture actually interact with a legal system that, as we established earlier, is notoriously slow and resistant to new technology?
That is the pivotal question. And it really requires looking at how courts actually evaluate digital records. The framework isn't asking a judge to simply, you know, trust the blockchain.
Which they wouldn't do anyway.
Exactly. Instant IP does not replace attorneys. It doesn't bypass the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office or any international equivalent.
So it's not some rogue system.
No, it's not an alternative vigilante justice system at all. Instead, it feeds the existing legal infrastructure exactly what it requires.
It provides the raw material, the evidence.
Yes. The documentation generated by this system is specifically aligned with the rigorous standards used in digital evidence evaluation.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. In the U.S., for instance, the federal rules of evidence have very specific criteria for authenticating digital records. You have to prove the record was created at the time alleged, by the person alleged, and hasn't been altered.
Right.
By combining the underlying blockchain verification with structured traditional legal documentation, the system outputs a package that attorneys can actually use.
So it translates the cryptography into legally recognized formats.
Yeah.
You aren't just like handing a lawyer a string of hexadecimal code and wishing them luck.
Right, exactly.
You are handing them a certified record that maps directly onto what the legal world calls prior art.
Yes. And prior art is the absolute cornerstone of patent law. For anyone who isn't familiar with the term, prior art is essentially any evidence that your invention or idea was already known to the public or existed before a given date.
Okay.
So if a massive tech conglomerate tries to patent an algorithm and you can prove that you had that exact algorithm documented and timestamped 6 months before they filed their application.
Your evidence constitutes prior art.
Exactly. And it can completely invalidate their multi-million dollar patent claim.
Wow. That shifts the power dynamic entirely.
Yeah.
Because historically, the entity with the most money to file patents the fastest, well, they won the race.
Usually.
If you couldn't afford the $30,000 to rush a filing, you just had to hope nobody beat you to it.
Exactly. But this democratizes the establishment of prior art. You don't need a team of corporate lawyers to generate the initial layer of evidence. You lock in the cryptographic proof instantly for a fraction of the cost, and you hold that proof as your shield.
There's a quote from the founder, Kerry Oberbrunner, in the text that perfectly encapsulates this. He says, courts don't reward ideas. They evaluate evidence.
That's a great quote.
It's a very sobering reality check for anyone who romanticizes the creative process, right?
Mm-hmm.
The legal system does not care about your late night whiteboard sessions or your flashes of genius. It only cares about what you can definitively prove on paper, or in this case, on a ledger.
It strips all the emotion out of the equation. I mean, we all want to believe that the world is inherently fair and the original creator always gets the credit, but the legal framework operates strictly on documentation.
Yeah, that's the harsh truth.
If you walk into a courtroom with a great story and your opponent walks in with a verifiable audit trail, the audit trail wins every single time.
So what does this all mean? Does this mean the ultimate goal of this instant IP framework isn't to convince you to abandon the traditional patent or trademark process?
Not at all.
The goal is to give you a bulletproof vest to wear while you are walking down that very long, very slow road toward traditional protection.
if we connect this to the bigger picture, that is the exact strategic application. You are securing that vest on day one.
Right.
If we go back to the paralysis we discussed at the beginning, that fear of sharing your idea with investors or pitching it to a potential co-founder because they might just take the concept and run, this first and fast layer neutralizes that friction.
It takes the fear out of it.
Exactly. The source material emphasizes that this framework restores confidence. You don't have to operate in stealth mode for 3 years, hiding your prototype in a garage until the patent office finally calls you back.
Because operating in stealth mode is actively harmful to a business.
Yeah.
If you can't talk to customers, if you can't test the market, your idea just stagnates.
It does. Innovation requires collaboration, and, well, collaboration requires trust. But in a borderless digital economy, trust is incredibly dangerous without verification.
So true.
By having this court-ready evidence locked in from the moment of inception, you can move at the actual speed of modern business. You can sign NDAs, enter negotiations, share pitch decks, knowing that if someone violates that trust, you already hold the irrefutable mathematical proof of your ownership.
Wow.
It really bridges the critical gap between the speed of digital creation and the heavy burden of legal proof.
It fundamentally changes the risk calculation for anyone who builds or invents. So, to summarize the core takeaway here for you listening, we operate in an environment where ideas can be extracted and replicated globally in a matter of hours.
Yep.
The traditional legal systems are vital, but their processing times leave a massive window of vulnerability that modern threats exploit. By utilizing blockchain technology to create an immutable timestamp, a cryptographic fingerprint, and a verifiable audit trail, frameworks like Instant IP provide an immediate layer of court-ready evidence.
Which is huge.
It gives you the prior art you need, the exact second you need it. Now, if you want to dive deeper into how this specific global framework operates and see the exact mechanics of how they format this digital evidence for legal use, the source provided a URL you can explore. It is instanttip.todaycourt.
And, you know, before we wrap up, I think this technology forces us to consider a much broader behavioral shift.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, we've spent this time dissecting protection and risk and legal leverage. But think about the psychological impact of removing that friction.
Okay, I'm with you.
If establishing the exact second you had an idea becomes instantaneous, frictionless, and undeniably verifiable, how does that alter the way we share knowledge?
Oh, that's an interesting point.